So, Rusale, what do you make of her? Commodore Whalar inquired as he stepped out from under the break of the poop deck, and Captain Rusale Abbott, commanding officer of the Imperial Desnarian Navy Galleon Archangel Chihiro, turned quickly to face him.
Beg your pardon, Sir Hiram, the captain saluted. I didn't realize you'd come on deck.
Well, I hadn't until this very minute, Whalar said just a bit testily. The Commodore was a solidly built man, his dark hair starting to silver at the temples. There were a few strands of white in his neatly trimmed beard as well, but his dark eyes were sharp and alert. He was accompanied by Father Aubrey Larraise, his chaplain, in the purple, flame-badged cassock of the Order of Schuler.
Yes, sir, of course you hadn't,
Abbott replied quickly. But his voice still held that same edge of half-apprehensive apology, and he looked so much as if he were planning to salute yet again that Whalar found it difficult not to grimace. He knew he was lucky to have a flag captain of Abbott's experience, but he did wish that, after more than 3,000 miles and 3.5 5-days at sea, the captain would forget he was related, distantly, and only by marriage, to the Earl of Hankey.
No reason you should have realized I was here until I spoke.
The Commodore tried, mostly successfully, to keep any exaggerated patience out of his tone, and glanced rather pointedly up at the lookout, whose report had summoned him to the deck.
It sounds like it's probably a Carisian galleon, sir,
Abbott said in response to the hint.
The lookout ought to have sighted her sooner, but she's still a good 11 or 12 miles clear. Still, she's close enough for us to get a good look at her canvas, and she's obviously got the new rig. She's also carrying a lot of sail for these weather conditions, and she's making straight for us.
He shrugged very slightly. Given that almost all the armed ships cruising these waters have been Carisian for the better part of a year, I doubt anyone but a Carisian would be making sail to overhaul anyone she hadn't definitely identified as a friend. Whalar nodded slowly as he considered Abbott's analysis of the other galleon captain's thinking. It made sense, he decided, and after 26 years in the Crown service, he had more than enough experience as an officer himself to appreciate what his flag captain had offered about the probable Carisian's thought processes. Unfortunately, he was far less well qualified to evaluate some of the other factors involved in the developing situation, since almost all of his own experience had been ashore, most of it as a cavalry commander in the Imperial Army. As in the majority of Safeholdian realms, traditional Desnarian practice had always been to assign army commanders to its warships, of which it had possessed precious few, each with an experienced seaman to translate his decisions and commands into action. It was a warship commander's job to fight, after all, and a professional military man had more important things to worry about than the technical details of making the boat go where it was supposed to go.
Or that's the theory, at any rate, Whalar told himself sourly. And I suppose if I'm going to be fair, it's always worked well enough against other people who do the same thing. Unfortunately, there was that word again, Karis doesn't, and it hasn't, not for a long time.
As a loyal subject of Maris IV and an obedient son of Mother Church, Sir Hiram Whalar was determined to make a success of his present assignment, but he had few illusions about his own knowledge of things naval. He was out of his depth, he grimaced mentally at his own choice of phrase, as the commander of one of the Navy's new galleons, much less an entire squadron, which was the reason he was so grateful for Abbott's experience. Even if he did want to kick the captain in the arse from time to time.
You say he's making for us, Captain, Whalar said after a moment. Do you mean he's pursuing us?
Most likely, sir.
Abbott swept one arm in a half circle in the general direction of the other ship, still invisible from Archangel Chihiro's deck.
There's a lot of ocean out there, Sir Hiram, and not much shipping on it since the damned Carisians started privateering. It wouldn't be unreasonable for a merchant galleon to be making for Terence Bay just as we are. But as I say, without positively knowing we were friendly, I'd expect any merchant skipper to keep his distance. He'd certainly have reduced sail to maintain our current separation, I'd think, even if he's headed for Silktown or for Careman Keep like we are. And even though the lookout isn't positive, he thinks this fellow has made more sail.
He isn't positive about something like that? Whalar raised one eyebrow.
He says he isn't, sir. I can get him down here to speak to you personally, of course. The flag captain gave another of those small shrugs. I had Lieutenant Chambers speak with him already, though. It's the lieutenant's opinion that what really caught the lookout's eye in the first place was this other ship setting additional canvas.
I see.
Abbott's response had just neatly encapsulated both his greatest strength and, in Whalar's opinion, his greatest weakness as a flag captain, or as any sort of military commander, for that matter. From his tone and his body language, he was completely prepared to summon the lookout to the deck so that Whalar could personally browbeat the man. Yet he'd also had Lieutenant Justin Chambers, Archangel Chihiro's second lieutenant, interrogate the sailor first. Chambers was himself an excellent young officer, one Whalar already had an eye on for promotion, and he would have gotten the lookout's very best estimate out of him without intimidating him. It was just like Abbott to have made exactly the right choice about how to get the most accurate information possible on the one hand, and yet to be willing to allow a possibly irritated superior to vent his spleen on the seaman who'd provided it on the other. Especially if that superior had the sort of court influence which might benefit his own career.